The following is a Stick Boy We Talk production.
The following contest scheduled for one fall.
I am the man.
If you're the man, what the rock is talking. Woo! The best there is.
What it is, what it do, welcome to the One Fall Podcast, Joshua Adam William Arbuthnot, with the captain of King Charisma, Mo, and the ultimate babyface, Bill Johnson.
We're now going with the futurist.
I just finally landed the intro, and now it's the futurist. It's futurist is easier to remember, I will say that much.
Crown Prince of Charisma was good too, don't get me wrong. What the hell? Call me Bo.
Call you Bo. That's a lot. We got the ultimate babyface with Jill Johnson. And this is a, you know, whenever the three of us get together, it's normally because there's major results to talk about. WWE had their quarter results, and we're going to get into that. We're going to talk about the G1, which I think all of us are excited for. Even I've got an opportunity to watch a lot of the G1, which is pretty cool. And somehow, at least up until the last standings, I'm winning, which don't worry, that will not last. I will end up in last place eventually. As Mo is the futurist, I'm sure he's going to win this. So let's start,
I know that you say you have this mapped out, but just out of curiosity, since you say you had an opportunity to watch quite a bit of it this year, and this is probably the first time you've done that, has it opened up your eyes?
In what matter?
Well, into just the level and the quality of that the G1 is night after night. Are you kind of, even though you've heard about it and you've heard for years, I'm sure, how good it is and this and that, has it opened up your eyes as to just how it's not hyperbole, how it truly is just a different level?
I will say this. I've gotten a chance to watch a few matches throughout the year, sprinkled down when they're recommended. I really went hard tonight, today, because I finally kind of had an opportunity to have some intermittent time to watch things. Number one, God bless Daily Motion, and it's phenomenal because you can now download stuff on Daily Motion, so you can watch it offline. So I got the chance to watch it at the gym today when I was on the treadmill, which was awesome. It's the impact of every match you have, and it's such a different quality of everything. And Joel was talking about this too. It really boggles your mind how a company like WWE doesn't do a tournament like this. And I think both of you are familiar with me. My favorite as far as sporting event of the year is March Madness. And it brings some of the electricity of March Madness, but then it brings the best wrestlers in the world at once, or at least getting to do their styles. I don't know who the best wrestlers are anymore, because when we did our year in review last year, Jon Moxley was most of ours. If it not was him, it was Baron Corbin, was our worst wrestler of the year. We hated Moxley, and he looks like an entirely individual.
I'd like to correct you. Dean Ambrose, sure. Jon Moxley, two different people.
Sure, whatever. And this, like, and Kenta is unrecognizable too. I mean, he had some moments in NXT. I know he was injured, but getting to see a lot of him. And, you know, I didn't get a lot of chance to see Ishii last year. And I remember when we did the year in review, again, going back to that, you had him as your wrestler of the year, and that kind of caught me off guard. But getting to see a lot more of Ishii, I'm starting to realize more and more why he was that best wrestler for you, Mo. And I know Joel has – I've always loved Will Ospreay, but Joel's really been singing the praises of Will Ospreay, and Will's really on another level right now. You know, I've got a chance to see guys that I had never seen in Japan before. The match that Moxley had this past week, I forgot the name of the guy. Tagaki. He's really good. I love the way he sold his leg. And I mean, Heyman Page could learn a lesson about selling a leg, because I hated how he didn't sell his leg in the Kip Sabian match in AEW. And his job of selling that leg was phenomenal. It was just great ring psychology in it. And it really reminded me of why I love this, because I've had a lot of a drift this summer from professional wrestling. And the G1 has really re-engaged me to be interested in professional wrestling again, and how it can be beautiful and how it can be one of the top sports, and something that, you know, at times Sports Illustrated, The Ringer, do cover like it's a professional sport. The problem is they're talking more about WWE and who's going to be the guy, who's going to be their LeBron, their Sidney Crosby, their Tom Brady, instead of focusing on watching the G1 in Japan and being like, oh, they have it, and his name is Okada, and he may be the best wrestler in the world right now.
Yeah, I'm really glad to hear that. I mean, obviously we'll get back to the G1.
Yeah,
but I mean, I remember saying to you before this event, I was like, this is the freshest, and I took that take, you know, that expression, freshest thing in sports from Jim Rowan. He would talk about the March Madness, and that's how he would describe it. And mm-hmm. for years, I understood exactly what it means. And March Madness is an awesome event, but yeah, I mean, you watch the G1, and it's sport. You know, for all the, you know, behind the scenes stuff and bookings and all this and that, and it is a sporting event without any question. The way it's presented, the way it's announced, and the way
Kevin
it's
Kelly,
booked
man.
And performed. So, all right, let's get like, back to just, the quarterly reports. But
just before we jump in there, I was going to add the one thing the biggest thing with the G1 that I find is different than anything else within wrestling landscape. Sometimes we're more concerned about what's going on behind the scenes and what the decisions are being made and where they're going. I don't think anyone really cares what's going on behind the scenes in Japan and how they're what's happening and who's being booked. I don't think anyone wants to know spoilers on who's going to win this G1, who's going to win block A and block B. I think everyone just wants to enjoy this ride and enjoy this sports that feel that it has. And to me, you anytime you go on a thread about the G1, it's always positive, and they're always talking positively about a match or about someone wrestling in it. I don't see a lot of negatives that come with this. So it's a very different, it's a different thing as a wrestling fan, where you go from wanting to know the results and wanting and the negativity that ties in with some a lot of things in wrestling to no negativity and being like, I don't want to know anything. I want to watch and enjoy.
The only interesting thing I would say is, as far as not backstage politics, just curious of like, oh, Jay White. Why is Jay White 1-3? What a downfall for Jay White. But you can also put that into storyline of like, is there this great comeback coming for Jay White? What happened? This guy was a champion in February and was this great incline for Jay, and now it's like falling to the bottom and he's near the bottom. Like, if you would have told me Zack Sabre would have been 1-3, could have bought it. Jeff Cobb could have bought it. Sonata, I don't know if I would have bought that as much. I would have thought he would have maybe a little bit of better record. Same with, you know, Bad Luck Fale. It's hard to believe Will Ospreay is 1-3 because he's just blowing your mind with performances. But Jay White being as low as he has kind of surprised me about this whole thing.
It's Gato's booking.
Yeah.
Just cut and dry.
And I guess it's, Moxley being 4-0, I think we're all shocked by that.
Well, that's the thing, though. It's 20 men, but it's 20 different storylines. But everybody's storyline is interacting with everybody else's storyline. So it's mm-hmm. 20 different stories being told simultaneously. And that's the thing. Jay White, 1-3, now, or starting at 0-3, just part of his storyline, his long-term storyline. Because Gato has this booked out well past the G1.
Yeah, and, you know, I also like the story. I was watching Kenta and Sananda today, and I love when Kenta went into the crowd. I guess we're going to talk a little bit more G1 at the start than we thought, but it's just been so good. Kenta goes into the crowd with Sanada, and Kevin Kelly, who you guys have consistently made announcer of the year, and someone being in broadcasting, I really pride myself on listening to the broadcasters and their style. And I always love Kevin Kelly, but I went with Morrow the last few years. But Kevin Kelly is so good at subtleness right now. When Kent is in the crowd with Sanada, before he drops on that table, he drops him on the table, and he's like, these New Japan fans still aren't taking to Kenta. They still haven't accepted him as one of their own. And really talking about the rivalry they've had with All Japan without going into this big, elaborate situation, dialogue that you have to. Subtly hit on it, and you get the point of it, which I just thought that entire situation there is so brilliantly well done.
He's taking the storylines that are being told by the performers on the ring, and he's enhancing. He's adding to it so that you recognize it, and then he's letting it be now that you're aware of it. Now you are now he's letting you interpret it once he's made you aware of it. It's great stuff. All right, I'll keep talking to you, Juan. I am.
Do you want to get the G1 stuff out of the way now, Joel, and then talk about quarterly reports?
We've already gone down the rabbit hole. We're already rolling down a steep hill with a nice momentum. Let's have fun
and get to the negative after.
That's how I live my life.
I would say the MVP of this for me has been Will Ospreay. I don't know what my match of the year is. I really thought it was WrestleMania week with Adam Cole and Gargano. I love that match, and I'm sure Joel did even more than you and I did, Mo. But, man, Will Ospreay and Okada was unbelievable. Just edge of the seat unbelievable.
You know what added more to it is that me and Mo picked Okada and you picked Ospreay. Mm-hmm. And it harkens back to that sports feeling where you're just a little bit more into it. I probably would have been cheering more for Will, but I was like, please just hit the Rainmaker and be done. We don't need him to have any bigger of a lead. But it's still that when you're going through it and you hear the times going, and as it's going and he's getting closer and closer to that storm break, you're like, oh my God, if he hits it, then that's it. No one kicks out of the storm breaker. And like Okada kicked out two Oz cut. The match was incredible. I think this is the match of the G1.
Yeah. I think it's the match of the G1.
Yeah. I mean, as great as Ishii and Moxley was, as great as, so good. So damn. And there's still been so many terrific matches, And my MVP is Ishii, because I think he's had a good match every night, including with people that a lot of people don't have good matches with, or don't have great matches with anyways.
Yeah.
Same with Shingo. I mean, Shingo had a great match with Taichi and as well as with Juice Robinson. And it's like, he's awesome. Like you said, you're just discovering him now, but he's amazing. And doing that again with Taichi and Juice, who's, hit and miss. Like, mm-hmm. that's incredible. But no, this is the match, though, it was that spot for me. It was the spot where Okada hits the backflip and then hits a clothesline. That was where that match went to another level to me, because I'm like, because you don't usually see Okada hit a really big high spot. I mean, his stuff is usually really very, I mean, his big moves are a clothesline and a dropkick. You don't get any more basics than that. And yet he has the best matches consistently out there. And he's the star. Everything about him, right? He's the guy without any question. So, but yeah, when he did that spot, I just flipped out. I'm like, this match is unreal.
You know what? I've really kind of realized watching the G1 what New Japan feels like. It feels like it's a video game. It feels like I'm watching Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat, just because when they hit these moves, they have so much impact, like you would have with like Sub-Zero freezing someone, or Scorpion Spear, or Ryu hitting a Hayuken, or a Shuriken. Just like watching, even like with the Moxie, when he hits the Regal Knee, or when he hits the Death Rider, and say with Okada with everything he can hit, and the continuous Rainmakers. And I was also just thinking, like, man, when Moxley and Kenny face each other between the Regal Knees and the V Triggers, these two are going to kill each other just with how brutal they can be.
But you know what? I totally agree with that video game thing. I mean, I think that's a huge influence, actually, the video game and that mindset. I mean, obviously, we know if we've got a lot of that generation now who's performing, big video gamers. And I definitely think that is. I've been thinking that for a while. I've been saying that, the action and the style is different. Mm-hmm. And a guy like Jim Cornette complains about it. And it's like, well, no, but here's the thing is that you can't sell to the next generation your dad's wrestling. You just can't. You have to give them their wrestling. What is going to be their wrestling? That's what they're going to gravitate to. And that's what's going to become big. And that's going to be the next thing that explodes. And New Japan is doing that. And hopefully AEW will as well.
It's even crazy. It was in the Will and Kota match. There was a headlock at the beginning, and they kind of just did the basic wrestling to start off with Kota and Will. And Will had him in a headlock, and I was so engaged with that headlock. And I'm like, this is something that a basic thing WWE does. And the only person that I think can really engage in a headlock in that company is probably Owens. That's about it that I can think of at the top of my head right now. And it's just like, but every single thing you're engaged with, for the headlock or, a basic hold or the basic chain wrestling, they do such a good job of keeping you engaged and keeping you into every single move that they do. I mean, I had some G1 on yesterday. I had some buddies come over to, put together what we're going to do for these NFL podcasts, and they haven't seen wrestling in years. They didn't know who either of the competitors were in the ring, but they were just so caught on by everything that was going on and the action. It was hard for them to look away. And then like, oh, this is kind of better than even watching a promo week after week or whatever. Like, this is just action. I'm like, yeah, this is what makes it so good. And I think that's kind of what you've been talking about for the long time on it. It's just, this is just action. As good as we want promos and all that kind of stuff, at the heart of it, this is what we really want. And it kind of almost frustrates you. You're like, how is this hard to not do in a company? Like, we're going to talk about WWE losing huge results and like, oh, well, the ratings were down because this guy was off TV or, you know, Sasha was absent. It's like, well, if you just did something like this, and Joel and I had a talk about it, and I know he's really been pushing for it. If you just did something like basic wrestling, when you have an unbelievable amount of talent, especially on something like 205 Live, which is starting to maybe get a hand of this, you could be doing much better. But Vince has this whole thing about tournaments and not liking them, and it's really frustrating when you see something as brilliant as what this G1 has been.
Yeah, and quick shout out to Gallagher versus Gable. That match on 205 Live was fan-freaking-tastic. No, I mean, it's you know, again, if you don't have Ric Flair to cut that promo, you don't have Dusty Rhodes, and they don't. But you have things that those guys can't do. Like, the guys you have now, yeah, they're not going to cut the promo that some of these guys in the past came to cut. They're not. They're different type of performers. Play to their strengths, and their strengths are in the ring, telling stories and athleticism that's out of this world.
Well, you look at it, like, we haven't talked about him at all, but he absolutely deserves credit, is Jon Moxley. And you look at what he's been able to do in those two-minute post-match promos where he's put over Ishii. Like, he had a great promo on Shingo and talking about that there's no way this guy should be a junior heavyweight. This guy is a heavyweight. He's built like a tank, and he almost took my head off. And it flowed so naturally. And then you see what he does in the ring, especially in that Shingo match. I think that was – I personally enjoyed that a little bit more than the Ishii match. Both of them are really good, but I enjoyed the selling of the knee and that story that told. And WWE had this guy. They had Moxley, and they had him in a gas mask. They had him just wasting away and just withering away as a competitor. And now you see what he's doing here in Japan, and it's not that he's doing death matches and he's going crazy and he's swearing and he's cussing and he's doing all this wild, crazy stuff. He's doing what a wrestler does. And you had it there, you could have tapped into it, and you could have really exploded with it, but you chose not to. And that's...
Well, the quote that he had in that Jericho interview that really hits home now that you've seen him in G1 more than ever is, they take wrestling away from you. You know?
They do.
And that's what they did. They took wrestling away from him. And he's got it back. And we always, like, when he was back in NXT or in OVW in developmental, they would always talk about, this is the guy that feuded with Regal. The Regal came out of kind of basically a retirement to work with him. Foley,
so good.
Foley as well worked with him, went out of his way to work with him down there. Not Seth Rollins, who everybody knows was great. Not Roman Reigns, who had the, you know, great pedigree and the great look, but it was him who everybody said, oh, this is going to be the guy. He's your world, you know, he's going to be your Freezer world champion. And when they first split up, and he was a baby face. There was a moment where against Seth where, you know, he beat the hell out of Seth and he was on the table and the crowd was going crazy. And I was like, this is the key. Strap the rocket to this guy, you know, do it now. And they didn't. They didn't know how. They didn't know how to take advantage of him. If you're funny, then that's all they know how to do with you. And if you're not funny, they're just going to try and they think you have potential. They're just going to try and turn you into an Austin clone. His character, sure, it has Austin in it to a degree, but it's a lot of other people. At the end of the day, it feels like all Jon Moxley. And Dean Ambrose could have been Jon Moxley. He could have been this guy. This guy, in the right era under the right booker in WWE, would be a massive superstar and totally what they need, because they're really lacking stars.
Yeah, I don't really know who the guy is right now. I know they wanted to be Roman, and I think that's what we're going to get into in this conference call in a sec. But one thing I really want to do really quickly is the Reddit, the Wrestling Reddit, had a survey on for the halfway point. I thought it'd be kind of cool if we could kind of hit on it and kind of listen to the survey here. So I'll kind of go by the consensus here of what we want. So I'll ask these questions, get everyone's answers together. I'll go with you, Joel, you two. I'm going to kind of stay out of it because you guys have watched much more than I have. I've watched enough, but you guys have a more collective thought and everything. So we start off with, who is your MVP?
We're both smarter.
Yeah, well, there's sure for some things. who is your MVP of the A block through the G1? Bad Luck, Evil, Tanahashi, Kenta, Ibushi, Archer, Okada, Sonata, Ospreay, Sabre Jr.
I gotta go. I'm gonna go with Will Ospreay. I've been singing his praises so much. I think this the seeds are being planted right now for Will Ospreay eventually main eventing a Tokyo Dome. I really truly believe that. And he had a great match against Lance Archer to kick this whole tournament off. And he's just constantly had good to great matches. I mean, you look at the Bushi match that he had, there were stories that were that tied in from Wrestle Kingdom there. Him and Okada had storylines in there. I think Ospreay's the MVP for Block A. I really do.
Do you agree, Mo?
I do, because he's elevated his game. As great as he's been in the past, he's elevated even more this year. And it is too bad. I mean, and he's doing it now with, I mean, who knows how bad that neck is. Mm-hmm. And he's still having these great matches. And it does make me think, doing the New Japan Cup, the Best of the Super Juniors, and also this, maybe that's just too much on a person's body, you know. And I hope that's not the case. I hope he can last through the whole thing and keep up with this type of performance. But yeah, I definitely think he's elevated his game more than anybody else as far as where he was from even the beginning of the year to where he is right now in the tournament.
He really scared me a few times with his neck in the Kota match. Either that or he's really good at selling. What's been the best night in the Block A? Was it night one with Okada, Tanahashi, and Kenta and Ibushi? Was it night three with Kenta, Tanahashi, and Ibushi and Evil? Was it night five with Ibushi, Ospreay, Tanahashi, and Zack Sabre? Or was it night seven with Ospreay, Okada, and Ibushi, Sonata?
Oh, that's tough. I think it's Okada, Ospreay, just because that match alone just bumps up that whole night. Ibushi and Sonata was no slouch. I'm really, really starting to like Sonata more and more the more I see him, especially in singles competition. Tanahashi and Lance Archer weren't a bad match either. So you had three solid matches. Kenta and Evil, I'm enjoying what I'm seeing from Kenta. The only one that was a little bit of a struggle was Zach versus Bad Luck Fale, but I'd probably go with that night, personally.
Mo?
You know, for an overall night, I think the night with Ospreay and Ibushi was the best night, top to bottom. I think as far as both combination of in-ring action, telling a story and also having a good undercard that took this pushed a story for the next night. I think that's my favorite night from the A block.
I'll maybe go with that one myself. I know I'm not never with the cats, but that's the only one I've seen every match on. And I really like Kenta and Evil on that. I know that wasn't talked to, but I really like the Kenta Evil match that they had on that.
What are we going? I did too. You know how they brawled through the building and then they came back to the ring, the crowd was just going mad. Yeah, that was an excellent. I think that was an excellent night.
Good. We're going with night seven. What night are you looking forward to the most? We have night nine with Kenta and Okada and Tanahashi and Sonata. We have night 11 with Kenta and Sonata and Ospreay and Zack Sabre. We have night 13 with Okada, Sonata, Ibushi, Tanahashi, and night 15 with Okada, Evil, Kenta, Ospreay. To me, I mean, night nine looks pretty good, but what do you guys say?
Oh, I'd say whatever night has Ibushi and Okada.
That one was not on here.
That's August 10th. That's the second last show before the finals.
Yeah, it wasn't on here yet for some reason. I don't know why.
It has Ibushi and Okada, Tana versus Will, Kenta versus Zach, Evil versus Lance, and Sonata versus Bad Luck Fale. Yeah, those three top matches, Kenta and Zach.
Oh, there it is. That's the final night. Sorry, guys.
That's the second final night for Block A.
Night 17, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, night 17. Yeah, that looks really well done.
Well, of course, I mean, that's also my most anticipated because, I mean, it's where you're going to find out who wins it and all the storylines will culminate and come together and tell a larger story. And so it's going to be so brilliant. Plus, the action will be great.
Absolutely. Who's been the MVP? Go ahead, Mo.
The way they built up Kenta, and Okada. Damn, I can't wait till Saturday.
Oh yeah. Who's been the MVP? Who did you originally pick to win G1 Block A? Fale, Evil, Tanahashi, Kenta, Ibushi, Archer, Okada, Sonata, Ospreay, and Sabre. And then it's obviously going to go to who you have right now. So, I mean, for me, I originally had Ibushi winning this. But I'm starting to wonder if Okada is going to win this. Joel?
I don't want to play my cards out because we are competing against each other. All three of us had Ibushi for Block A, but it's definitely not a clear picture right now. But even that being said, just because it's not a clear picture right now doesn't mean it's not going to still happen. Gedo does this masterfully crafting where you think you know where it's going. He'll take you another direction, then he'll take you back to where you thought it was going and leave you going, oh, okay, so I was right, but that was really close.
I find it so interesting. The champion has never really won this to get a pick, and that's what I'm wondering with Okada. Not 100% sure yet, but I'm interested on it. Obviously, you don't think anyone wants to show their cards, but Mo, who did you originally have in this?
Yeah, also, I had Ibushi, and I've been thinking the same thing the last few days. I've been going, I could see Okada winning this thing now. Like, and it's that same thing. I mean, they're trying to push him as this legendary figure, you know, and nobody has won it a champion hasn't won it in years. And they're trying to push him at that level of not just the best wrestler on the planet, but the best of all time. And how do you do that? Well, you have him actually win the G1 while he's champion because, I mean, it's such an incredibly rare feat. And I'm starting to wonder if that's the direction they're going in. I mean, you know, Ibushi was my pick. I still feel confident in that pick, but I can absolutely see them doing with Okada. The other thing about that is, who the hell would he pick then? That's the part that, to me, it's almost more interesting. I almost, maybe, I don't know. I mean, it's tough to say, but
I know Joel has a theory. I know Joel has his theory.
There
Joel?
It's way out there. It will never happen. It's a tinfoil hat theory. It's to be taken with the utmost grain of salt. There is no possible way that it would happen. But if it did happen, I'd lose my mind. Is the only blemish that Okada has is Kenny Omega, and that is his pick. Because Kenny still has that. He can still do New Japan in his contract. But hell would have to freeze over for that to happen. So there's no way. But the fan in me is like, ooh, give that to me, because that would be incredible.
Well, the thing about it is, like, it does seem highly unlikely politically right now. But the thing about this whole thing is, no matter what, if Okada is the one who is picking, are you guys still there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Sorry, for a second, something weird happened there. If Okada was the one picking, considering that all the top contenders he's already beaten, like all the guys like Naito, he's already beaten, like basically Ibushi, he's beaten, and he's beaten everybody. If he was to win this, he could actually pick somebody first that he hasn't had that, that history with. And that would, like, now you could present a fresh matchup and he's the one picking it. And I think that's an interesting concept. And again, it also comes down to, if he wins it, perhaps he chooses to defend it twice at the Tokyo Dome and picks two people. Maybe that's even the way they go.
Because of the again, two nights. Sell out two Interesting.
Nights. They gotta sell out two nights, which changes everything.
Interesting.
That's big.
Yeah, I like that theory. So let's get to the B block of this. Who's MVP halfway through B block? Jay White, Cobb, Moxley, Robinson, Goto, Tageki, Ishii, Taishi, Naito, Yano. I know, Mo, you were saying Ishii. I think, Joel, you're going with Moxley, right?
Yeah, I think it's painfully obvious. I did not expect this from Moxley. Like, what we've seen from Moxley, I just didn't expect, because in a lot of ways, you don't know what you were going to get from him. And he has taken a storyline with a young boy, the son of Red Shoes, Shooter, and turned that into an integral part of his character within New Japan. And he's shining a spotlight on this young lion. And anytime he does anything that involves Red Shoes, he always bows, he shakes his hand, because, well, he's adopted Red Shoes' son now, so he's got to pay respect to the old father. I just think the matches have been quality from him. Moxley, just everything that he's done, the promos, the promos aren't fair because I can't speak Japanese, so I don't know what the other people are saying. I'm sure it's really good, though, but for me, Moxley. Ishii's number two, though.
So I'm going to tell you why Mo's right, because the next question is, you picked Ishii, didn't you? So who is the non-Ishii MVP? No bullshit.
Well, it really is, though. I mean, look, Moxley, if you were to say to me who's the most surprising, an A block is Archer, and a B block is Moxley. Mm-hmm. Easily the most surprising, you know, for me. But there's a difference between most surprising and Ishii. Four matches, 4.5 stars or better. Like Moxley, four matches, 2 to 4.5 stars or better. And who are they against? It was against Shoto Taguchi and Ishii. And Shoto, four matches, 3 4.5 stars or better, 1 against Yano. So that doesn't count. So this guy has, you know, these two have been far away in ring, your MVP. As far as a personality, you can say Moxley. But as far as in-ring work, those guys have been, like, just beyond everybody else so far in the B block.
I continue to be impressed. Moxley, don't get me wrong, has really impressed me. But I just remember when we did the MVP last year, and I think Joel picked Kenny, I picked Gargano, and I thought the split vote was going to go to Yumo. I mean, you picked Ishii, I'm like, okay. Well, and I would say, like, when you say something, it does carry weight with us, especially for me, because I believe you know what you're talking about with wrestling, getting to see more over the last few years than we obviously have. So I really paid attention on anything Ishii this year and really getting to see a lot of him in the G1.
Are you saying I'm old? Go ahead. No, go ahead. Say it. That's fine.
You're a veteran. I had the same problem with our football guy today. He's like, you're saying I'm old. I'm like, no, I'm saying you're a veteran. You're no, I think, you know, when you say something, stands to reason. Let's move on to
consistency with Ishii. It's the, no matter who he's in against, it's incredible. And no matter what, he gets you believing every single time by the end. It's unbelievable. He's so good.
So let's get to what night you're anticipating the most going forward. We have what was the best night first? So night two with Goto versus Jay White, and we had Cobb and Ishii. We had night four with Naito and Tagachi and Ishii and White. We had night six with Moxley and Ishii and Goto and Naito. We had night eight with Ishii and Naito and Jay White and Cobb. We had night 10 with Moxley and Naito and Yano and Goto. We had night 12 with Ishii and Goto and Tagachi and White. We had night 14 with Naito and Shingo and White and Moxley. We had night 16 with Ishii, Shingo, Juice, and White. And then we had night 18 with White, Naito, and then Moxley and Juice.
I think it's probably last night.
Yeah.
Because the storyline between Juice and Moxley, and the block B is going to come down to that final match, which is Naito and Jay White.
By the way, I jumped ahead to the most anticipated on part of this because they have a weird spacing. So, yeah. Sorry, what night did you say, Joel?
I do think that it's as great as that last night was. I think it's actually that first night. Mm-hmm. Shoto and Juice had such a great match that I didn't expect. And the big win by Goto in the main event, and it was an awesome match I didn't expect. And Moxley's first match, and it delivered, and Ishii and Cobb, just Ishii and Cobb. So I think it's that first night.
And then what night are you guys anticipating the most? Night 10, night 12, night 14, 16, and 18.
I think it's a final night, because then that solidifies the G1, that tells you who's going to be in the finals. Really and truly, that could tell us who wins this pool that we have between the three of us. Because I, in the downtime, I've been adding up. Josh, you have 25 points, and me and Mo are tied with 22.
How am I ahead still? What is going on?
I'd like to point out that Joel had a big lead on me last year for the whole thing until the end.
Yeah, and then it all went away. And all three of us picked different people for the final for Block B. I picked Jay. No, I picked Naito. Mo picked Jay, and Josh picked John Moxley. So one of those guys is going to be a deciding factor, because that adds three whole points. And then we all have Ibushi winning this. So it really comes down to who wins Block B. And that's going to be the goal.
I'm so looking forward to that night. But a lot of it is, I just cannot wait for Moxley versus Robinson too. Because that tag match they had, the post-match brawl, I'm hoping you saw that one, both yep. of you guys. It was so great. And just they just sold the heat between those two. I just cannot wait for that rematch.
Here's a side question.
You know what a match, and I have to say a match in Block A I'm really looking forward to? Because they're both members of Suzuki-gun. I cannot wait for Archer versus Sabre. Members of the same faction, completely different styles and looks and everything. And I'm really looking forward. Like, I'm so intrigued by that concept.
I have a question for you guys, just based on Block B. Is once the G1's all done and wrapped up, do you foresee John Moxley at Wrestle Kingdom this next year?
Well, that's what I was going to ask, because it's very interesting. Because there's a lot of these guys like Janela and others that have bookings, but they end in the end of September. There's no more bookings on Indie Independent for anybody. Janela, why can't I think of anyone's other name than Janela? MGF. They all are done with independent bookings after the end of September. So that's interesting, to say the least.
Yeah, it kind of depends on that relationship. And I think Moxley probably can still be there. But I know this AEW is his first commitment. So what is their schedule? Because that thing's on a Monday night. The Tokyo Dome's on a Monday night. We don't know what their schedule is. We don't know what the pay-per-view schedule really will be. And you know, I just, it may be difficult. I'm actually not sure, because they're going on 2 days this year. Is it a Sunday and Monday?
For who? For AEW?
For the Tokyo Dome. Or is it a Monday and Tuesday?
Let me just say, I know it is the 2 days.
It's always a Monday, right? That their event takes place. And then the next night is their like their post, their Raw. That's where they shoot all the big angles. And this year, that's the one that I believe they've added as a second event in the Tokyo Dome. So I think it's a Monday and Tuesday. That may be even more difficult,
depending on if they're
willing to give them the night off. But if it's a Wednesday night Dynamite, you know.
It's on Saturday and Sunday.
It's on Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, Saturday on the 4th and on the 5th.
Interesting. All right. Actually, you're right. It is always the 4th.
I know what you're saying. That's the interesting thing.
I think that's the thing we don't know about is, what is AEW's schedule? Is AEW doing something end of the year? Do they have a big event, a Starrcade-type event at the end of the year? I mean, what's their plan?
I think that's All Out. I think All Out is their WrestleMania.
I think so, yeah. So, but I mean, they're going to host for a minimum 4 pay-per-views over the course of the year.
Yeah.
When?
Yeah, we'll find out. We'll get to that in the next part. But that's the interesting thing, like, with this Moxley and Juice thing is, does Juice get over him there? Then they're 1-1, then they have the match for the title. Then Mox drops the title to Juice, to put Juice over.
I'm not sure he's going to be at the Tokyo Dome. If I was to guess, I'd guess he won't be at the Tokyo Dome. But he will somewhere drop the belt to Juice in a final match between them before that. It could very well even be if Juice beats him on the final night, a rematch, in the winner of Block A versus Block B. They could even do it there.
Right. And then Moxley's done, and then that's it.
That's possible.
Feels
like a damn shame though if he's done.
Go ahead.
Because his run right now has been incredible, and it's just been like if if Moxley had this full year of momentum behind him, then he would be, you could make the argument for him being in that wrestler of the year contention. Unfortunately, we'll see how the rest of this year plays out, but if he can have a solid year of this type of run, then it's a big deal for AEW because it just makes Moxley a bigger star for them.
Well, and I know we'll get to more AEW, so I'll save this, but I will say this. I'll save what I was going to say regarding that, but I will. Is there any chance that he doesn't win from All of Us Most Improved, no matter what?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Joel and I talked about that today. I don't think there's anybody else.
Like, it's done. Like, not that other people aren't improving, but yeah. It's done.
Yeah, I don't think it's even close. It's just day and night. Like, this guy was a nobody at the start of the year. Like, remember when he came out to during the Rumble and it was like a wet fart? Like, like Jeff Jarrett had a bigger pop than he did for the Rumble. And I know it's like an old pop and everything like that, that a veteran came out, but like, this was supposed to be one of your most over babies. I mean, I think
Nia had a bigger ovation. At that point?
Hmm?
Was he not a heel at that point still?
I don't think
I can't even remember, but no matter what, he's supposed to be a major, a main event player. And let me tell you, this guy would take corners. He'd be thrown into the turnbuckles, slow down for them, and barely take them with just protecting his body with no interest in being in the ring.
I think it was the next night that the Nia stuff started with him too, after the Rumble, I believe. Yeah.
That's right. And then he was a heel.
Yeah, and that's when the news that he was quitting came out too.
Well, he was a heel, but they weren't going to embarrass him though on his way out.
Mm-hmm. Except Dawkins Bay. Let's finish this block part off. Who did you guys initially pick to win the G1, or do you want to keep that close to the vest?
Oh no,
it was White for me. Like we already said, this Naito, White, and Moxley for the three of us.
I had Naito. I thought Naito was originally going to win, and I don't know who's winning this.
You had a podcast where you said Moxley.
Oh, did I?
Yeah, I swear up and down that's what you had on the podcast. That's what I got written down. You may have been talking Moxley and then slipped in Naito, but
I think my idea was I was hoping that Moxley would win, but I thought Naito would win.
Everything. Yeah. That's your pick. Oh, that changes our competition.
I don't know. I don't know.
Right.
I
mean, we'll go back and listen to that show though.
Yeah, you'll have to. You don't have to put who you currently think is going to win right now. We'll just Let's put Moxley there just because he's.
You know what? I'll say I'm as even though he's 1-3, I still think Jay White's got a shot for me.
Who's the overall MVP for you guys?
Easy.
Mo, Joel.
it's Will. I'm not gonna change Pat. To me, it's Will Ospreay. But you see every night what Ishii is a must watch. Ishii is, anytime he's in that ring, a must watch. But I find that with Will Ospreay as well. And I think Will Ospreay is the future of one of your quote-unquote four pillars that you'll have in Japan. I think he's one of those down the line, if not right now.
You know what is interesting is how much, even against other incredibly popular wrestlers when he's in there with them, how he's getting equal or greater reaction from the Japanese fans than anybody else. Like that, that's really interesting.
So
it's also really interesting how Tanahashi this year, last year after being easily the most over guy in the tournament, this year is middle of the, like 1 year later, is that nostalgia thing that he had last year where everybody thought he's done, he's never going to win it again. They so badly wanted him to, then he did. And now this year it's like, oh, okay, he's still there. It's kind of strange how that story for him has gone.
Well, you let the air out of that pop, and rightfully so. It was the right time to do it, but now that reaction has kind of lost a little bit of the impact that it had, because you said the crowd really wanted it, and then once they've got it, they're like, okay, well, we're good now. We've got what we've wanted.
They just never thought they'd see it again. They were cheering for him because he had become an underdog, and then after winning it, he's just not the same underdog this year.
No, because he's won it.
He won it last
week. Oh, go ahead, Joel, sorry.
My question to you is, in the next couple of years, do you think we will see a Will Ospreay versus Okada main event at Wrestle Kingdom?
I really don't know. I mean, it really depends on whether or not they permanently move him out of that junior division.
Until they do that, no. No. If they never do that, then no chance. Will they? I think they will, but I think it, and now that he's moved there, it certainly has a better chance. But that's really it. If it doesn't, then you know, juniors don't beat heavyweights often. Certainly, junior champion never beats the heavyweight champion. It just doesn't happen in Japan.
We'll see.
I'm very interested to see where this lands with
I still Ospreay. Feel like Will Ospreay 3 years from now, I wonder if he'll leave New Wrestling. Like, I seriously, as much as he's toned down himself a lot, I just and also you see some of the posts he makes and the mental health issues he's had. I worry about that guy a lot. I really do. Like, I don't know. I hope so. And he is wrestling so many shows. God, I wish he would just wrestle less and pick your spots and let your body heal up. And, you know, it's the same thing like Kurt Angle, and Kurt Angle's still around, but it's that same attitude. Those guys, they don't know how to go 50%. That's what makes them great.
Jericho told him to slow down. Thing.
Pardon me?
Jericho told Will to slow down and calm down because he was worried that, not just Kurt, he's like, I'm worried that you're going to be like Chris. He's like, this is what Chris did, and this is what Eddie did, and you just need to calm your shit because not like if you like get everything together, it will work out well. You don't have to go a million miles an hour.
No, it's so true. That's my biggest worry about that guy. You know, about Ospreay is that combination of what makes him great and pushing so hard, but also the, like I say, the other factors, just the depression that he's fought and everything, all that added together, just feels like wrestle so much. Like I say, Ibushi, same thing, you know, pushing yourself too far, but even Ibushi has taken breaks at times.
Yeah, it makes you almost appreciate guys like Okada and even Cena, because they had the run at the top. They have been that top guy. But they've taken care of themselves. They haven't physically driven their bodies into the ground. You don't hear a lot of negative stuff for either guy online. Like, there's a picture of Okada with a sunflower. Like, he's just, you see Okada and you're like, oh, it's Okada. He's fine. You see the little things that Cena does for the kids and make a wish and everything. And it just, it puts it into perspective just how tough it is to run at the top, and
look at how beat up Tanahashi is, right?
Yeah.
Just look at him. He's been in, you can just see it, everything. Naito, you can just see the pain there in these guys every night. And honestly, Will Ospreay is like even more, you know, 1,000 miles an hour, and he seems to be pushing even worse, so.
Who's the competitor that's impressed you guys the most?
Oh, Moxley. That one is Moxley. Because I didn't know he could be that good consistently. So that one is, like I say, it'd be biggest surprise for me be Moxley, then Lance Archer, because he's been, I didn't think he'd do so well without Harry Smith, you know?
Go ahead, Joel.
Because Moxley's been my pick so much, I'm going to go Lance Archer. I've been surprised at how well he's done in ring and just the matches that he's had and just... his little bit of character work that you see from him, like he's actually been very enjoyable, and I've been impressed by what he's put forth. And another guy that's really impressed me is Kenta. You didn't know what you were going to get from him, and you've seen quality from him. So both those guys, as well as Moxley, there's a long list of guys that has impressed me.
I watched Kenta on 205 Live, and I could see he still had it. They just didn't know how to use it. So I'm not quite as surprised with him, because I could see it was still there. They just didn't know what to do with him on 205 Live or anything else, you know. But yeah, like Archer, the thing about Archer, he's actually getting cheered by that crowd. Like a lot of people are appreciating him. Really, really, yeah. As a personality, he developed, you know, a few years ago. But now that he's on the tag team, you just get to see it more.
Who's been the most disappointing?
I know what I'd say, and I hate to say it, but based on the fact that, like, we talk about Ospreay as far as going up a level. Ibushi this year is down a level. And don't get me wrong, that's a level from being a 15 out of 10. So he's still like a 12 out of 10, but he's still down. Like he's not this year, he's not. And I know he's been hurt, but it's just, I mean, I think he had in his the 10 matches last year he had, including the final, probably had an incredible 5-star plus match in 9 out of them. And it's not quite at the same level this year. So it's tough. It's unfair, but it's only because the standard is so high. But I would say Ibushi.
Joel?
Yeah, you can make the argument for Ibushi. There hasn't been a lot of buzz for him. You can look at the opponents Naito has faced, and they haven't been as great. The Ishii match that he had is really good. I mean, there's definitely Jeff Cobb's. Jeff Cobb's the guy that I was like, I hadn't seen a lot of him, and I enjoyed his match against Will at MSG, and the guy just doesn't, I don't know if it's just he doesn't have that extra gear, but he just seems very like, oh, it's Jeff Cobb. It's another big guy that wrestled. I don't feel as though there's anything to really sink my teeth into with Jeff Cobb.
Yeah, I mean, you can't really say like guys like Yano or anything because you expect that. I would kind of say that I mean, you were saying Tanahashi to a degree. Maybe the approval hasn't gone as much for him, though. Would you put him maybe in that category to a degree that he hasn't like upped his level yet to be what you expect Tanahashi to be?
No, because ever since the Tokyo Dome, he hasn't really been. You haven't really seen that, I don't think, from him anyways. Like he just hasn't, it hasn't felt like a great year for him. So if anything, he's probably doing a little better and looks a little better than I've expected him to be.
Right.
You know, and I think a lot of people are predicting him to really do poorly this year, and that's obviously not going to happen. He's always in the mix. But yeah, I think that Okada match in Dallas was fantastic. So.
What's the top three matches? I already clicked on Okada Ospreay.
I'm sorry, pardon me?
I said one of the top three matches. Okay, go ahead.
I just want to one quick thing. Can I change my pick from Ishii to maybe Gato? Like, because I don't think the in-ring action this year is quite as good as last year, because last year was just incredible. It's still unbelievable, but as far as like a book tournament, I think this is his best year. Because like every year he looks at it and goes, here's a match that you're going to think if you saw this, if you saw Tanahashi versus Archer, you're going to think Tanahashi's going to win. But I'm going to book it in a way so when that night comes, you're not going to know anymore. You're going to be questioning it. And he's booked it every single match. Like the way he's had Yano beat people, or the story with Jay White going and Zack Sabre Jr. and just, you know, Archer beating Ospreay. Like all of it, like, it's like every night he has built it so that all of a sudden every single match, like when we're doing our pick'em, every match is hard.
Yep.
Every match is hard to pick. Because it's been such genius booking.
I think that's why I'm winning, because I'm not thinking, I'm just picking. But that's why I'm mad I've watched now, because now that I've seen stuff, I kind of know what's going on, and I wonder if that's going to mess up my picking. Because I'm just like, sure.
You weren't. No, come on. Come on now. If you do... You're brag. If you do, I expect you to never let up for a whole year.
Oh, I don't. I mean, I'll be surprised if I win it. I don't think I am. I'm still 98% sure I'm gonna finish in last place in this. I'm surprised that I haven't yet.
One third of the way through.
What are the best matches? I already clicked on Okada and Ospreay as one of them.
Ospreay and Ibushi just from a carryover storyline. You could talk Okada and Tanahashi from night one. You could talk Ishii and Moxley, Shingo and Moxley. There's a lot.
Well,
yeah, for me, I Okada, Ospreay, Ishii, Moxley, Shingo, and Juice. I love that match.
And what non-block, this will be more for you guys because I haven't seen it, what non-block competitors have impressed you the most? Bushi, Chase Owens, Jushin Liger, Suzuki, Toa Hanarai, Tomoki Homa, Yoshihashi, Yabushi Kamori, and Yojo Takahashi.
I can't properly answer that. I kind of skip to just the G1 matches. I see little bits here and there, but I mostly skip to the
G1. I should say for me, it's Henry. Like he looks to me like he's on his way to he's a guy who came out of the he was trained by Fale, then went to the New Japan Dojo, and kind of came out and got his gimmick and had the gimmick that made you think that he was going to get pushed and then never did, and just being around, and this year he's added a lot of size and a lot of intensity, and he feels more like a real threat in the ring. So yeah. I think he's close to unlocking it. I was to say, you know what? I really appreciate Yoshihashi because this is a guy who doesn't have hardly any charisma. He has almost no athletic ability, and he was turned down three times to get into the and he's like an older guy now. He was turned down three times to get into the New Japan Dojo, and just kept coming back and wouldn't give up. And his whole career has been like that. Like he won't give up. Like now he's been in the G1 for several years now. He's out. He's trying to get back in. He's trying to prove he still can do it. And it's like, because it's his real story. Like the guy really is more heart than athletic ability or talent or charisma or anything. He's just, he's really got a lot of heart. So I a little shout out for him.
So there it is, all the stuff in the G1. Now I got a question. I think maybe we should split these up, Joel, and maybe do one half G1 and the rest WWE. What do you think?
Yeah.
So I'm just going to do the little sign off right here, everyone. Make sure you go check out part two. So thanks to Mo and thanks to Joel. It was a pleasure talking about the G1. I knew that we enjoyed it, but we went on about an hour or so talking about how great it is. Final thoughts really on the G1 before we end this part of the pod, before we get to part two, guys?
It's just going to get better from here.
Exactly. It's actually, we haven't seen the best of it yet.
All right. Until next time. Cheers. Enjoy part two.
And good night.